Missile Salat. It's Missile Salat. Yeah. It's the love of Yosef. Hi, everyone. Welcome to here. Really, it'd just be, meaning, really it'd be better just to, like, sit and talk to each other and, like, speak to each other. Like, I would like to go, like, to have coffee with, like everybody here, you know? That'd just be so much more, I don't know. It's not appropriate for this trip because that would imply that there's a moment of Yishuv Hadas. And that's not the tradition when a person is traveling away from their home. It's not like... It's not a place of Yishuv Hadas. I mean, it's also not living with the Parsha. Yaakov Avinu was traveling. It was not to sit down and have Yishuv Hadas. Anyways, hi everybody. This is really very nice to be here. And it's nice to be in Bayav Moshe Tzvi. And it's good to be among friends. It's good to be in a safe place. It's good to be with people that... No, really, it is. It's really good to be here. The world is crazy outside. I don't know what's happening. I don't know exactly the details of what's going on. People are just saying in the elevator, there's more difficult things happening in Eretz Yisrael in the world. And all we could do is get together. The main way to get it together is by getting together. When Am Yisrael sits together, so it creates a certain force in the world, a certain power in the world. We believe that. We live with that. Anyways. I'm getting tired today. I'm getting sleepy. Okay. There were three Jewish boys who on Leil Shabbos, on Friday night, went for a walk. They left after the meal. They went for a spatzir to the edge of town. And they're chilling in a barn. Found a little barn there on the edge of the shtetl. They're chilling there in the barn, doing their thing. Sitting there drinking a little malt liquor. Crazy horse, it'll be, sure. And smoking cigarettes. There. On the edge of town. And these kids were known. They were known to be, like, a little bit edgier. And the parents had their suspicions, and the Rabbanim were worried about them because it's a phenomenon, you know? And it's panel discussions and articles and magazines and newspapers about it, talk about how to deal with these riffraff. So everybody was, like, aware of it, handle it. So they decided they're all going to go down to the barn, and they're going to catch these kids, because they know they all hang out over there. That's their park. Whatever their place that they go. And there's three Chassidish Yungalai, three Chassidish Bochrim, sitting smoking and drinking little Shabbos in the barn. When the door flies open and there's a whole chamula of elders from the community there, the Rabbonim and the Askonim and the experts, so the psychologists and parents. And there's this big, like, moment. I said, Shabbos! You're smoking cigarettes! What are you doing? And one of the Bochum stands up and says, Oi! Shane forgets, and I forgot. I forgot it was Shabbos. I forgot. I just forgot a Shabbos. And the next Bochum says, Also me too! Also me forgetting. I also forgot. I forgot you're not allowed to be moderation on Shabbos. I forgot you're not allowed to smoke. And the third guy, he sees, like, you know, the crowd and the two guys. He said, I also forgot. He looked at him like, what'd you forget? He said, I forgot to lock the barn door when we came in here to do our thing. What do you say? What's the Maisa? What do you say?
Georgia.
Fatshah, what do you say? Uvachayim. To tell you what I think the point of the story is taking fruit from your plate, chewing it up, and then spitting it into your hands for you to eat it. What's the story? What's the Maisa?
The two kids instead of they forgot it was Shabbos were trying to I guess separate themselves to be more like they in their they were always taught to be was right and the last one's like being real more real with himself and like being honest.
Okay.
All
right.
Everyone has like things inside or they try to lock behind doors, but like who are you to don't get in my business or don't judge me for that.
What's a rap? If you're a rabbi of the community, what are you supposed to do? Kids smoking on Shabbos, breaking Shabbos. Your parent, you're the head of a commission for off the derech kids. What do you do? You have to do something. No, to go there or something. What do you say? No, I hear. What do you say? Something. What do you say? It's a good story. I saw everybody listening. I saw everybody watching. Everybody was with me. I checked. Marilyn hunted the situation. I saw that everyone was with. Decent laugh at the end. What's the? Where are we going? What do we do now? Now what? That was the Torah. Now what's the tefillah? Like we had a Torah. You had a good story, a joke, or whatever, a maisa, an anecdote. Now what? We just file it away. So you can use it somewhere in NCSY Kollel this summer. No, but you file it away for when you go back to your high school and have the alumni learning. And you go and you talk to the seniors, you'll say it, like, and then what? What's the...
The first two were trying to protect themselves, and the third one was trying to protect Yalom.
Trying to protect?
All three of them.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. That's beautiful. I didn't think of that. Beautiful. See what happens when you let a person chew their own fruit? That's it. Beautiful.
I think that it's kind of a... It's kind of sad that the conclusion of people finding out someone was breaking Shabbos was that someone felt like he had to lock other people out. The result of like him breaking Shabbos made him feel distanced from other people, as opposed to when the community coming in feeling more connected, he wished he would have locked other people out instead of bringing them in.
As opposed to if it was a time of Sanhedrin where we would have given this guy skila.
Nah, meaning like when someone reveals their like spirit.
That's what happens. You break Shabbos, you chayv misa, friends. It's not. That's just the. Parenthetically. Yeah, sorry.
I would say that like, when you reveal your spiritual insecurities, like on a certain level, like the result should not be that like people want to make you feel like you're locking yourself more in, but that you're feeling more included within the kila.
Beautiful. 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 Anybody else have a different thought? It's a beautiful thing that people can hear a maisa and understand different lekach. Every single thing that you said was right. Every single way that you understood it. What do you say? Aaron, what do you say?
So, do you think that like such a big mindset in the community, these three kids, they're trying to, you know, separate themselves in a certain way, and they go inside a barn and they don't lock the door, maybe he wanted to get caught. Shh. A little bit.
Maybe he wanted to get caught.
He wants to change.
Doesn't want to be stuck. There's two thoughts I wanted to share just about this. Nice. One bechlal and one befrat. Start befrat. From the inside out. When I read this, I had such rachmanis on those first two guys. Even though the third guy definitely got a tuchus whooping from whoever was there. Imagine what the next part of the story is. Let's just imagine like what the next part of the story is. Whenever you hear these meisim, just try to like imagine context, like what came before, what came after, you know, what it was like, what they're telling their parents when they left, and like what had happened that caused them to get to that point, and then what happens afterwards, like, you know, most people probably just want to avoid the real confrontation and the real heavy-duty, honest discourse. And really dealing with an issue or dealing with an insecurity or dealing with a chisaron or dealing with an avera or dealing with something that's doresh tikkun that needs fixing by shmiring. I forgot a Shabbos, I forgot how to smoke, whatever. That's... I had rachmonis on those first two guys. That third guy said, here's a guy who's going to go somewhere in life. That's who I want to be. I mean, he's a little bit of a smart aleck, a little bit snarky. Like, you know, probably got an extra slap for being fresh and for not, like, being contrite right away. You know? And not just in the world of Pshischa and Kotsk, but the only way we could fix anything or get anywhere or develop in any sense, change in any way, is starting from a place of honesty. Starting from a place of a real understanding, a real grasp on where I am in the world. Where am I right now? The proverbial eif ani ba'olam. But in a real way. But heichan ani ba'olam. Where am I? Where am I at right now? And that's hard to be honest with your parents about sometimes. It's hard to be honest with your friends about sometimes. It's hard to be with your Rebbe. It's hard to be with one's significant other. It's challenging. Which is why we have to start with ourselves. When Yaakov Avinu is on the road, without Yishuv Hadas, I mean, the most miserable Baal, I have it easy. I'm traveling away from home. Okay. No one's chasing after me. My brother's not pursuing me to kill me. As far as I know. As far as I'm going to Livingston for Shabbos, my brother has no plans to murder me. As far as I know. You know? I don't think that anyone really wants to kill me. Family? Not everybody's so thrilled with me all the time. You know? Father would like me to, you know, daf mincha earlier in the day, but I don't think he wants to kill me. Yaakov Avinu has a very, very challenging situation in his life. I mean, he's got a lot on his plate. You know, like, he's a single guy, he's career prospects are iffy. What he thought was going to be his life that was set up for him a certain way now is totally in shambles, totally a wreck. And he has to flee from his homeland. He leaves. You know, he's leaving Eretz HaKodesh. Charona. Which is a place of Charon Af. Which is, I mean, talk about, like, yeah, I'm going through a rough spat. I'm in a Yerida. Like, that, you know, that's nice. Just look at the Parsha and see what a Yerida is. See what challenging set of variables are. Vayifka b'makom vayalan sham. Yaakov Avinu gets literally to that place. Vayifka b'makom vayalan sham. He goes to sleep. The person is sleeping, so like there's a whole different mode. We go into sleep mode. The body's still working, the mind is still working, everything is still happening. It's just subconscious, it's all beneath the surface. In a certain sense, it's the real me comes out. You know, there are tzaddikim, there are big people who, it's not just like a ma'isavud, Baal Shem Tov is taking a nap before Shabbos and said that the nap before Shabbos is more choshev than the shira shirim before Shabbos. You heard that before? You heard that before? Baal Shem Tov was more machbid, they sleep before Shabbos more than the Shir Shir. Does anybody do that? Because when we go into a state of sleep, we're letting go. We're letting go of being in control, of being movil, letting go of choosing, letting go of deciding, of making cheshbonos, trying to figure things out. Just letting go. There's different types of sleep. There's a sleep of escape. There's a sleep of depression. There's a sleep to refresh. There's a sleep to recharge. Vayifka b'makom. Yaakov Avinu was very well aware with where he's at. The first step toward tikkun, the first step toward growth, toward change, toward development, toward being close to Hashem or others, is a real honest assessment of where I am. A brutally honest assessment of where I am. Vayifka b'makom. Yaakov Avinu was mitchaber to who he was and to where he was at in his life, to the crossroads that he was at. Vayalan sham. What it means literally or figuratively, man, and I don't have to come here to the headquarters of Vorts on the Parsha and tell you Vorts on the Parsha. And that's not everybody here is how many. Everybody here is looking around at different svarim on the Parsha. You have what to say. Ladder. It's a ladder. It's not a ladder. Ladder is him. He is the ladder. Malachim. The ladder is not really ladder. The ladder is actually Mlava Malka. The ladder is not a Mlava Malka. The actual ladder is in Eretz Yisrael, and it's in Bechtel. It's actually in Yerushalayim. It's a, I'm not, you know. Before you even get to that, Vayifka b'makom, Yaakov Avinu just had an honest assessment where he was at. Vayolin sham. Vayolin sham, daika, there. A real pathway to growth that's sustainable, that's honest, begins with honesty. Beino levein kona, between us and Hashem, solamente, just straight up, without frills, without a script, without any preconceived notions of how the conversation is going to end, without angling in any way, because whenever we talk to people, we're usually angling. We want them to see us in a certain way. We want a certain result, whether it's our parents or some girl we're sitting across from, or it's our Rebbe, or it's our friends. We want, generally have something we want from that interaction. It's okay. That's the way the world is built. So Hashem made the world. But Beino lebein kono, Vayifka b'makom, Hashem just wants us to be. He just wants us to be ourselves. With our spots, with our strengths. Talking to Hashem in his bodhis is not confessional. I did this wrong and I did that wrong. And I looked at this website, this Avera. It's talking to Hashem. And being mitchaber wherever I'm at. From a place of strength or a place of weakness, from a place of clarity or a place of confusion. But the first step is honesty. V'yifka v'makom v'yolan sham. And Yaakovina wakes up. And he has a completely new way of relating to himself and to Hashem. And when we let go of trying to be something, let go of she'ifos, and we let go of trying to like force, midoche kasha'a, and fix something by force, we just let go and sit back and be with Hashem the way we are. Yifka v'makom v'yolen sham. We go into that sleep mode, so to speak, of saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, this is what I am. This is where I am right now. So then Yaakov Avinu has a whole new way of seeing the world, of seeing the Eibishter, of seeing himself. He gets new levushim, new makifin, lechem lechol, beged lilbosh. But more importantly, he says, wow, I didn't realize that I could find God in this place. Achein yesh. Wow, yesh, there is. Hashem is in this place. I don't have to do something different and more and better right now. I just have to be myself. I don't have to make an excuse why I didn't do this, or I don't have to feel good because I did that, to celebrate an accomplishment or make an excuse for a failure. I could just, for a few minutes a day, when I'm with Hashem and His Bodhidus, be myself and be accepted unconditionally for who I am. And not even get into what I'm doing. Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. V'anochi lo yadati. I didn't know. To not know, to let go a little bit. I don't have the answers, I'm not sure. Now, when you meet her father, you have to have some answers, what you're planning on doing. You got to have a plan. You have to have a plan. And when you have a test in economics or something, an essay due, you have to have a plan. What am I writing about? What's it going to be? How am I studying? What's my plan of action here? I have a midterm. Is it going to be I'm just drinking like 6 Mountain Dews tonight and eating doggies at 4 in the morning? Vomiting and first going to sleep next to the door where the final is so I don't sleep through it, and then waking up vomiting and taking the final on the fourth floor first?
Here.
And potentially? It happened. But it wasn't Mountain Dew, it was Diet Surge. I vomited two things of Diet Surge. Mamish Ecto Cooler. Like, that's what it was. On the level of Ecto Cooler, that's what it was. Doggies and Loyadati. God was not in that place. There was the one place where, since like that was like the place where the Bonesh was driven out of the universe. the Yush was so deep. It was so deep. I can't come to this part of the world without thinking of that moment. It represents everything to me. And had a date that night later. It was just like everything. Everything was just a disaster. But there was a part of Yaakov Avinu's becoming Yaakov Avinu was that experience of just getting down to being real. I don't know. I don't know what's going to be. I don't know how to handle the situation. That's what the very style the Majitzer explains. When a person wakes up in the morning, the first thing is to say, Lo Yadati, I don't know. Lo Yadati, I don't know. I'm not sure what today is going to bring. I'm not sure how my plans and how my efforts and how everything, my to-do list that I went to sleep with. And I go to sleep every night with a to-do list. I put a post-it note on the desk and I come down in the morning and know what I have to do in the day because I'm preparing the kelim for the journey. And with that, Moda'ani comes along with a recognition of Lo Yadati, I don't know where I'm going and how it's going to happen today. I just know one thing, that I'm with you, Hashem. I just know one thing. My goal is to be Marbek Kvod Shemayim. I know one thing, that I'm being Mevatel myself, Hashem, to the way that you are going to be Movil. Now, that doesn't mean I don't plan everything. I do. I mean, I don't ask for things to be different. I do. V'cholim, that's for Baruch Aleinu. That's for Beged Lulboshem, Lechem Lechol. But it's coming from a Hanhaga, from a place of first letting go, and then I'm going to fix. Yaakov Avinu lets go, and he's an honest assessment of where I am for real. This is true about school, this is true about relationships, this is true about our Avodas Hashem, because relationships in school is our Avodas Hashem. That's also true about our tefillah and Torah, and the way we help other people, and the way we, our kibbut av'eim, our mitzvos. Don't confuse Torah and Tefillah with Avodas Hashem. Everything is Avodas Hashem. Torah and Tefillah are part of that everything. When the Rishner came into the Beis Medrash on Tisha B'Av, and sitting around the floor crying with kinos, and he asked, I don't know if it was the Rishner or one of the tzaddikim of Rishn, Hash, or one of Siatin, one of his books of Rishner stories. And he asked this elderly man on the floor, you're crying about this Tetzach. He says, I'm crying, but today's Tisha B'Av, the Beis HaMikdash of this story. So the Rebbe looked at him and said, okay. And? So and I'm a coin. And so, well, if there's a Beis HaMikdash coins, I'd be working in a Beis HaMikdash. I said, and? So then there'd be people bring karbanos, and then, bring the karbanos and have bringing the karbanos, call on them and get the meat. I said, oh, okay, so I'll buy you some meat. He said, no, but even if you would buy me meat now, the flavor is really in the bones. Churbans, not eating from the bones the same way. So the Rebbe said, okay, so I'll buy you some bones. I'll buy you as many bones as you want. You can have the marrow from the bones. He says, said, well, anyways, my I'm old, my teeth are ready, it's hard. It's hard for me to bite into the bones, even to get that narrow. So I looked at him and said, so don't cry over the Beis HaMikdash, cry over your teeth. Be where you are. Look up there to what really is bothering you. Strip away the layers of, like, all the things that we think we're supposed to be thinking about and focusing on and worrying about and dealing with. And think, and get to the teeth. The way to get to the teeth, the way to be someone who can begin an honest conversation about where I am and where I want to go, let alone where I want to go or how I'm going to get there. Forget, everybody's talking about what you need to do. We have to be machazik ourselves in tefillah, and you have to learn more, and you have to take on more projects, and you have to learn more, be machazik in shmiras halashim, be machazik in shmiras anayim, and all the things that you have to do, and all the things that we need to do to get there. But where am I? Nowhere but here. Yeah, we are nowhere but here. Kipshuto. And the truth is, we're usually anywhere but where we are. We're everywhere else in the world, and not where we are. We're in Eretz Yisrael because there's things happening, because everyone's in Eretz Yisrael, and that's beautiful. And we're thinking about what's coming next in our life, with our major, and with our studies, and with our tests, and midterms, and whatever. And we're thinking about the date we have later, and we're thinking about how I'm going to make an excuse to my chavrusah, I want to go to Night Seder. And we're everywhere but where we are right now. And even when we're struggling, and we find ourselves, you know, wherever we in whatever ditch we find ourselves metaphorically in sometimes, we're not there either, because we're already thinking about how, you know, oh, here's what I'm changing, here's what I'm doing different. And we don't appreciate the lulls and the break in the music and the ability to take a breath and pause and go to sleep. Vayolen sham, vayifka b'makom. Yaakov Avinu vayifka b'makom, he comes in contact with the Ribono Shel Olam and he understands where he's at. I have a brother who wants to kill me, I gotta figure out what I'm doing with my life. I have this, I have that, I have a I'm like introducing this whole thing called Mariv to mess over my descendants. I've always done things. only when you have weddings. Only on weddings. If you have a good wedding and you drink by the wedding, you know, and you're like, they're davening Mariv. You're just like, you're at the wedding. You know what, Mariv? And then, like, you say, I'm not going to daven Mariv later. And then you get home in your bed, take a shower in your bed, and it's like, oh, Mariv. Vayifka b'makom. And the makamus poge you too. That's a real relationship. And you daven marv, you think you pull the blanket or you cover up and daven marv. You have to get out of bed and daven marv. But Yaakovino knew exactly where he was at. He understood where he was at. He knew what was up ahead. He knew what his challenge was. But he knew, he had, believe me, more pressure than I did. Yitzchak Avinu. It was Zayda with Avram. And there was a lot of pressure. He knew that there was a lot that he had to do in his life. Meaning, like, it wasn't like he was going to be, all right, whatever, so I'll be a sociology major, I'll get B's, and Beseder, I'll go to Chinuch, and I'll figure it out. Zalozeh. His father is Yitzchak Avinu. Avram Avinu is a Zeta. He knew there was something coming that he had to prepare for and do. And the only way that he was able to do that was by being Mitchaber. Vayolan Sham. Letting go a little bit. And saying, Ribono Shel Olam, you're in charge. The Hanhaga of subconscious. Lo yadati. I didn't realize that I could relate to Hashem in that way. And if we're not, and if we don't get down to the teeth by taking time for Svodidus, talking to Hashem, peeling away layers, not vorts about his Svodidus and why he's not learning a sefer about his Svodidus and knowing how important it is. Hurts more. It hurts more. But not to wait. Not to plan out, to think of ways how it's going to be and what it's going to look like, and not to prepare a script and a to-do list, but just to do it. And if the first couple times it's like copying Shuli Rand from Ushpizin and standing there like this, then okay. Okay. It's also okay. And if it means sitting there and saying, wow, this is... it's kind of funny here, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. Thank you, Hashem, for this, and thank you for that, and thank you for this. That's okay, too. That's good. And if it turns out, like, sitting there saying, like, hey, so how long is this supposed to be for? That's okay, too. Not that bad. And if you fall asleep, it's also okay. Not that bad. But that's how we. I mean, there's no. I don't know how. There's no. All roads, ultimately, lead back to ourselves and lead back to that most basic, fundamental, natural thing. That if we can't sit with Ribono Shalom for a few minutes, and speak, then the Ribono Shalom is just a bracha to us. Baruch atah Adonai lamdeinu chukecha. It's just that. Or Baruch atah Adonai lamdeinu chukecha. It's still the same thing. And it's good parts, a lot of good parts. And it's nothing mesechta, another mesechta. And then it's more frustration, and more frustration, and more excuses, and more excuses. Because there's a way of talking. One's wife, that has to do with picking up milk and bread and diapers and Materna from the Makola. And there's a way of talking with one's wife, which is apologetic and shmiri. There's a way of talking with one's wife about practical things, about home and family. And there's a way of talking about dreams and hopes. There's a way which is flattering in a way which is... And then there's something called the Sfas HaYichud, a language of Yichud. I didn't forget that it was Shabbos, and I didn't forget that I know how to smoke on Shabbos. With the barn door open. It's not about the Beis HaMikdash, or about the Kohanim, or about the Korbanos, or about the meat, or the marrow. It's about my teeth. Asfas HaYichud emerges from a place of raw honesty, and natural honesty. We were programmed that way. Hashem made us. We need to be good, and we want to be good, and we are good. I have to come here, the headquarters of Pnimius, bless you, the headquarters of learning Torah HaGoel, the Redeemed Torah, a Torah of Simcha, a Torah of Amunah, a Torah of depth and of self-awareness that you're getting from your Rebbe. I have to come here and tell you that. First step in self-knowledge, after knowing, after learning Tanya, and after learning Kutamaran, and after knowing that it's Rechokim Heima'ovon, and knowing that after all of that, which you know, and you hear, and you learn, and you engage, and you're learning it from Rav Kook and from the Chalbani, learning from Rav Kluger and from Balatanya, and from Rabbeinu and from Avichai Meir, and you're learning it from Ritamar Schwartz, and you're learning it from here, and you're listening to Dovel's podcast, and you listen to Shlomo Katz's Parsha Shir, and you're listening to Rav Weinberger 5 times a week, and you get Rav Moshe Tzvi every single day. I gotta be mechadish anything to you. Anything I can tell you? I listen to these are all the people that I listen to their Torahs, I could have something to say. But how do we make the Torah into tefillah? How does all of that affect? How did all that become part of me? There's only one way for all of this to sink in, is that you have to let it sink in. You have to give it space to sink in. Time to breathe. I learned Torah. I've been learning Torah now for a bunch of years. And I work at it. I really do. I really work at it. More now than I ever did. Because it's harder now for me to find time, but I do. I work at it. Out of my comfort zone. Milat Tavah myself. I work at it. And it's challenging. And I have a Rebbe. And I spend time with my Rebbe. Almost every day. Interact with him every single day. Not like B&H. Not every day except Saturday. Every day. And I have Svarim. I probably have more Svarim than most of you. And I have the good ones. So I have the good ones. They're arranged well. The shelves, all the demyanos that you might have, I also had it, and I did it. And it's a cause of tremendous stress if we don't do the practice. If I don't go out to do this vodavus, if I don't sit after the mikveh for 20 minutes, or like this morning, lay down on the floor and stretch out and breathe and walk to the mikveh, and then sit there and talk to Hashem for a few minutes in my place of Pizur HaNefesh with 100 emails from last night, then all of those Torahs from all of those couple hundred of Weinberger tapes I listened to in the 90s and all of the amazing Torah that I've heard from the amazing people that surrounded by it all the time, the beautiful ideas, instead of that becoming something which is sam chaim, it's sam amavis, it's the taste of death. It is bitter and it is painful. And all we have to do is the most basic, simplest thing in the world. Yifka b'makom v'yalon sham. Just let go a little. Every time I come to my parents, and I love my parents, I have a nice relationship with my parents, they live close to us, and I have a good relationship with my parents, I always catch myself, if I'm aware of it afterwards, that I was trying to like, something good that I did. Let's say something good I did. Waiting for them to notice that I lost a few pounds, or to say that I'm doing something good at work, I have a business trip coming up, or a kid did this well, or they look how the house is clean, something. Meaning, even if I'm not aware. And painfully so, sometimes it's even in the home. Less so. I want to open up a sitter, that's all it is. Sometimes. And if I catch myself that that's where it's at, I know that I'm just not doing the practice enough. I'm not vayifka v'makom v'yalan sham enough. I'm not just talking to Hashem normally. I'm not just sitting to Hashem saying, kacha, this is who I am, here I am, hineni. You know what I have planned today? You know, try to make time to be a good person. Today's a busy day. I can't do this today without you. I have a boss who's talking to me about things. 15 new programs in my place of work. About 100 people I want to sit down and have a cup of coffee with today. Now. A friend that I want to just like go hide somewhere and schmooze with for 2 hours. A lot of books I want to sell. You know, lots of things. Phone calls to make. Oh, yeah. Children I want to Skype with. A wife that I would love to really be there for and with. Like, everything in the world. There's so many things. I just say, Ribono Shalom, I can't do this without you. I need you to make this happen today. And help me define success as being my best. And help me define success as Kvod Shamayim. Sometimes it's bakashos. Today, most of my esbodos was bakashos, asking Hashem to help me. Sometimes it ends up being a lot of apologies. To go through those in order to get to those moments every so often where I could just sit and say, Tovli, it's good, huh? Nice. Good to see you. Good to spend time together. It's nice. So you have a good friend you haven't seen in a while, you have that. Like that moment of just... The rest is kinatai v'kavod in life. Kachat. But those moments of svas ha'yichud come with daily practice. To have those moments of real comfort and real chibur, real vayifka v'makom, real vayolan sham, of letting go and just being okay with who we are. And not trying to like, you know, have it be a certain way. Just letting it go. Not from a place of yush. Not from a place of laziness, but a proactive choosing of being and being accepted. And you see what happens by Yaakov Avinu. He has a to-do list of 1,000 things. He lays down, his head's going crazy. He lays down and it's, you know, Dr. Pelkovitz's the neurobiology things he quotes, that if you see the blue screen before you go to sleep, what happens to your brain? The fook. We have takanos in our house. I don't bring the phone upstairs to our place of living. I have an iPhone. It has a filter, but it stays downstairs. It's my way of interacting with many of you and with the world and with making money and with finding out what new Butterfinger bars are coming out this summer, even though we keep Chav Yisrael for 16 years. How sick am I? Yehuda Yaakov Halevi Ben Tamar. I like to see every so often I go into what's Butterfinger putting out? Ooh, peanut butter bunger? What the hell is wrong with me? But maybe for you it's the Giants, or it's the Jets, or it's whoever. Or it's seeing what's going on out in the world. But that stays downstairs. It stays downstairs, and I plug it in, and I go upstairs to where my family, to where my life is, to where my home is, to where my wife is, to where my children are, to where I'm sleeping, without the phone. And I lay down, and boom, my head explodes. With 1,000 things. It's like not as bad as like Shemona Esrei, let's say, when I think of all the things that I have to do, but it's still a million things. Call him. Call that. Do this. Do that. Oh, here's a good story I could say in on Shavuos. You know, all these different things. Like Yaakov Avinu with the stones all around his head. What do you think was going on there? But he collected himself. And all of those stones and all of that pizur and pirud, all of that being pulled in different directions, what's happening with Esau? What am I going to have? Am I not disappoint my father? How come my father? You think he wasn't thinking about, you think Yaakov didn't cross his mind ever? What the heck was that deal with the brachos, with my father? You think that he didn't have that in his mind at some point in his life? And his brother, and what am I going to do for a job? He didn't even get to work yet. Forget about what happens with Lavan, how dafuk that is. Like a pile of stones in different directions surrounding his head. Like a makif that's just mifuzar, mifurad. Shattered, scattered, and all over the place. And then, vayif ga bamako. Chibur. Touch that place. Vayalan sham. Let go. And all of those stones became one. And all of those stones became one. And Yaakov builds a matseva there. Matseva that later in Torah we find out is something that is disgusting to Hashem. It's despicable to God. Matseva. Once a mizbech adama, mizbech avanim. Hashem wants the pieces to be put together, Klal Yisrael to bring the pieces together, to make a place of sacrifice to Hashem. Hashem wants us to bring all the pieces together. By Yaakov Avinu, we brought a matzeva because the matzeva was made literally from all these different pieces of rocks. All the parts of his life and all the things that he had to do and wanted to be and aspired toward and was concerned about and worried about all became one. And he built a matzeva and he says, I'm going to be back here. Vayidur Hashem Neder. This is where the headquarters of Dira B'Tachtonim is going to be in the world. This is where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. This is where man is going to come and be connected with God in an open way. And that only came from a place of Vayifka B'Makom, of just accepting where he was at and accepting what it was. Being where he was, not trying for it to be anything different. Accepting himself, knowing that he's accepted by Hashem. And interacting with Hashem from that honest place. Yaakov Avinu is called Seal of Truth. The Seal of Truth. Tiferes blends, brings together, is the trait of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is Ish Emes. Integrity comes from the root of the word, which means to, same as integrate, integral, bringing together pieces. Encompassing. Honesty. Being true, being real, authentic. All these buzzwords that we throw around, that we read about and we talk about, and that we punctuate our conversations with our friends of what our aspirations are to be, are only possible, only attainable by accepting ourselves and turning to Hashem with that acceptance, and entering into a dialogue with Ribon Shel Olam, Kacha. Kacha. And Nachman is saying that this is the main thing. It's not as schmack as giving out copies of Tikkun HaKlali and jumping on trucks. But this is the main thing. Yaakov Avinu, as a man of integrity, the Midah of Teferes, of bringing together all these disparate parts and all the shattered pieces and all the stones to become one, is the Matseva there, the Ribono Shel Olam, is possible when he turns to Hashem in simple discourse of his bodies. And Yaakov Avinu was the one who later, Levasa Yaakov Levado, he's able to engage Esav. He can handle anything. A Jew who enters into his bodedus, into a real conversation with Hashem from a real starting point, nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to worry about. Nothing. I know, when I'm anxious, And I'm all over. It's only because it was mitzvah day. Only. Not because I don't have emunah. I'm a ma'amin. We're all ma'aminim. We're all b'nei Torah. We're all erel chayidim. We all want Torah mitzvahs. We're all good people. So why can't I translate that into emunah? Why do I get nervous about parnasa? Why do I lose my temper at home? Why do I have nisyonos in achila? Why do I have nisyonos on the internet? It's just very simple. Vayivater Yaakov levado. We don't spend enough time alone. Last time we talked about chaverim. Now it's time also to be alone. Talk to Hashem alone. Talk to friends is the next step. Have a Rebbe. Vayivater Yaakov levado. Yaakov Avinu was able to stand there and confront any challenge because he had the bechina of levado. Am levado yishkan. We feel it. Have we ever felt it in our lifetimes more than now? Looking a little bit at the news, how alone we are in the world, how much the world can give a damn about us. I mean, they think they give less of a damn about Kenya. A lot of people were killed in Africa last week. How many people in the world care about the Jewish people, other than to hang us out to dry? But that's okay. Like Shlomo said, sometimes it makes me happy, sometimes it makes me sad. Yisrael has no friend in the world. It's okay. Rebbeinu Shlomo says, it's either going to be levado yishkon, you're going to feel alone and scared and alienated, or it's Hashem havaya badad yanchenu. Hashem is going to be with us, alone on our journey, just the two of us. Sfas ha'yichud, diburim shalemes, those moments when you look at your wife, and you just say, I could care less about the whole world. Just take me to the moon with you. Take me to some island. Take me to Honolulu. Some jungle in Honolulu with you. I don't have to be anywhere in the world. I don't need anything. I don't need money. Don't need stuff. Don't need these books. I just need you. I just want to... There are moments. It doesn't happen every minute. It doesn't happen every minute. It doesn't happen every day, necessarily. Just the same way when we turn to Hashem, there's apologetics, and there's a to-do list, and there's a wish list, and there's I need this, and I need that, and I want this, and I want that, and I'm sorry about this, and I'm sorry about that. And then there are those moments of ayifka b'makom, where it's just the two of us. And that's the place, that's the starting point where we can really begin to live lives of honesty and integrity, of bringing together all the pieces in our lives. And there's a place for work, and there's a place for schoolwork, and there's a place for in-laws, and there's a place for friends, and there's a place for neighbors, and there's a place for entertainment, and there's a place for sports, there's a place for physical activity, and a place for whatever. Yesh makom. Yaakov Avinu is called the Briach HaTichon. He's that great unifier who brings together all the kelim, all the vessels of the Mishkan. A man of integrity. Person who's not living life pulled in a million different directions. And it's attainable. Not if we talk about it. It's attainable if we talk to it. We talk a lot about Hashem, a lot about God, but not enough to God. We told that story about the barn maese there. So everybody has a different way of understanding it and reading it, and hearing it. And they're all true, and it's all right. It's beautiful. Each thing was beautiful and right and correct. And that's how we have to come to Torah. So we have to come to hearing a story, or hearing a joke, or seeing something in the world. It's taking it personally. Turning the Torah, the idea, into tefillah, integrating it into ourselves. Because that's what a man of integrity does. That's what a person who's mechubar does. Have you ever sat at a, you ever go to a wedding, you ever make an appearance at a kiddush? This Shabbos, you're going home, you have a kiddush, oh, we have a bar mitzvah kiddush, this guy got to make an appearance, you hear that language? You got to stop in, wish mazel to make an appearance, you got to go to a wedding, I got to be seen, make mazel to that. That's how our lives have become. Even at funerals, we go, we got to go, we got to make, I got to pay a shiva call. Got to go, pay a shiva call. Even the way we talk about the most joyous and exciting, wonderful, wondrous events in our lives, simchas, and the way we relate to sometimes the most difficult, painful things, it becomes so superficial. just another thing on the to-do list, as opposed to being mitchaber to it. Allowing ourselves to be swept off our feet with the joy at a wedding, at a bris, at a bar mitzvah. Boy is putting on tefillin for the first time. Someone's naming a child in shul. Be mitchaber to that. The soul came down to the world, and this person's naming that child. Someone got engaged. Mazel tov. Stop for a second. Be mitchaber. Vayifka b'makom. You heard a piece of news in Eretz HaKodesh. Another thing, another thing, another thing, another thing. Be mitchaber. That doesn't mean reading every article. It doesn't necessarily mean knowing all the facts and all the details. Although, if that's the way you're being mitchaber, that's fine too. But for a moment, take a pause. Vayifka v'makom v'yalin sham. Just hang there for a second. That's what's dangerous about social media. And I could say it not as a lecture, but as a real thing. Reading through, there's someone's about basketball, someone's about here, Drew got stabbed, someone's about basketball, Butterfinger flavor, da da da. And it's all just stones around one's head. Just let's take that lesson and learn, live with the parsha a little bit, and live with the ability of to be a little bit like Yaakov Avinu. And it's not just about Yaakov, but each of us are called after Yaakov. This is something that Hashem gives every single one of us. You don't need anything to do it. You don't need a new notebook from Staples. You don't need a certain 0.5 or 0.7 pen. You don't need an iPad for it. You don't need anything. You don't need a Gemara or a Chumash or a Lukutei Moran for it. You don't need anything. You don't need a davening jacket for it or a gartel. You don't need anything. That's what makes it sometimes so elusive. But Hashem should help us, hopefully, that just by talking about it, putting it on the table, it should help us leave the barn door open and go out of it and go to the field next there and begin a little bit of a conversation with Hashem. We'll see from there everything will fall into place in Hashem. Hey. Also, the way to do that is by buying this book. It's $20. It is the best $20 you'll ever spend. $20 is basically a beer and a hot dog at a bowl game. Yeah?